Good morning, Molweni. Goeiemôre, Dumela, Sawubona. It is a great privilege for me to be here, especially in Isaac's place, Isaac and Taryn. I knew Isaac when he was still longing for a wife, and now they are married, and they have four sons. We were there when we sent them off to America to study. So it's so great to see that how the ministry is growing, how Redeemer Fellowship is growing, and in the music and all parts of it. So yes, it's a blessing to be here, and it's and greetings from Jeffreys Bay Bible Church. We know that we support you when we pray. And when we think about Port Elizabeth, we know that there are people praying and preaching the gospel right here. And we praise the Lord for that. It is wonderful. Yeah, so usually for a long time in my life, I was introduced as, Timon was introduced as Willie's son. But now I hear I am I was the famous one. Now I hear that I'm introduced as Timon's father. It's a bit awkward. It's the first time that happened, but but I guess he's the famous one now, and God bless him for that. Yeah, so let us pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you are everywhere, that you are sovereign in control of every situation and of history and the future of this world. We praise you because you are God eternal. You are the Holy One. You are the one who sustains us. You are the one who keeps us. You are the one who saved us. And how privileged we are this morning to come together as your church, as your children, knowing that you loved us so much that you have given us your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins in our place so that we may be free. And we praise you for this. We praise you that we can sit under the sound of your word this morning. We praise you, Lord, for your wisdom and for your encouragement and for your power. And I pray, Lord, that you will, through your Holy Spirit, open our eyes and open our minds and open our hearts and make us willing to be obedient to your word. Again, I pray, Lord, let no one go out here this morning unchanged. Let your word change us, because you and you only can do that through your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is very, very popular today in our churches, schools, and organizations to say we do leadership training. The world has put leadership on such a pedestal that everyone in the world wants to be a leader. Children are taught from a young age that they are all leaders, and they grow up believing they have leadership qualities, although some of them know nothing about leadership. I believe that is why we have so many leadership struggles in South Africa. There's political infighting, power struggles in organizations, and even in our churches. I mean, every second person in South Africa declare themselves pastors and apostles. There are too many leaders and too few followers. But we are Christians, right? And so we want to know what is godly leadership. Amen? Where do we go when we want to study godly leadership? And I propose we go to the Bible. I say we dump the humanistic theories and babble about leadership and rather study God's word about leadership. And this morning, I want us to take a look at Daniel as an example of godly leadership. So you can open your Bibles at Daniel. This is a topical sermon. It's not an expository sermon, but we will look at the life of Daniel. We don't have the time to expose the whole character of Daniel in even 24 hours. So let us try our best. Now, and just keep your finger there around, because we're going to page through Daniel. You can open at Daniel 9 so long. So Daniel was a very successful leader, and he was highly successful in every administration he served in. I'm not sure if you've ever given any thought to this, but Daniel served all different kinds of bosses, all different kinds of kings. Daniel served under many different kings from many kingdoms for almost 70 years. And with every one of these leaders, Daniel always seemed to move to the top of the organization. And this was also true in Joseph's case, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 37. So when you examine the life of Joseph, you'll discover that regardless of where you put him, he always ended up at the top. You could put him in Potiphar's house as a slave, and he ended up at the top. You can put him in prison, he ended up at the top. There's something about people like Joseph, Daniel, Esther, and Deborah, men and women, it doesn't matter where they end up and where you put them or who is the king or who is the leader, they always end up at the top. Why? But let us stick to Daniel this morning. Daniel was a great leader, but none of this worldly recognition of his leadership qualities matter in the light of what God said to Daniel through his angel in Daniel 9, verse 23. Let us read that together. Daniel 9, 23. At the beginning of your supplications, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. So give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision. Wow, highly esteemed in heaven? So Daniel was a great leader, not only because people said so, but because God said so. Amen? And if God said Daniel was a great leader, then let us learn from Daniel this morning, because we serve the same God. So please keep your finger there, because we will scroll up and down through the book, and we don't, as I already said, we don't have time to do a proper study, but let me show you three characteristics of a godly leader through Daniel this morning. Three characteristics of a godly leader through Daniel. And the first one is this: a godly leader is a praying leader. A godly leader is a praying leader. Now, this might sound, this is so simple, but this is it. A godly leader is a praying leader. He spends a lot of time on his knees. Daniel took every matter to God in prayer. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream which none of his wise men could interpret. So he became so furious that he gave orders to destroy all the wise men in Babylon. And Daniel and his friends were also in this category. What did they do in the midst of these fearful circumstances? I mean, they didn't read the seven habits of whatever by whoever. They didn't do a SWOT analysis. No. What did they do? They prayed. And let us look at a few of Daniel's wonderful prayers. Daniel 2, verse 17. Daniel 2, verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah about the matter, so that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. They prayed so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed by the rest of the wise, with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And you know what? God answered that prayer. And God's answer to this prayer was stunning. This is evidence that prayer is not only a one-way communication. God answers prayer. Look at verse 19. I mean, this is one of the most revealing, astonishing, and favorite prayers of mine, where truth about God is spoken. Look at verse 19, Daniel 2, verse 19. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven, and Daniel said, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells in him." Verse 23. "To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made to known us the king's matter." The problem was solved. But Daniel and his friends prayed. Daniel, the great leader, prayed. And if you read the book Daniel, you will realize Daniel is a praying leader. He prayed whenever he could, and God gave him amazing wisdom and prophecies for the future. Let's read and pray with Daniel one of the most striking intercession prayers one can pray for your people or country. We need to pray this prayer right now for South Africa and for the church. And while I'm reading, we might as well pray this together. Daniel 9, verse 4. "I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession," this is Daniel, "saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules." Verse 17. "Now therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his pleas for mercy. And for your own sake, O Lord, make your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate." Verse 19. "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name." This is a prayer that we need to pray in South Africa. Daniel 9:21. "While I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice." And verse 23, he said to Daniel, "At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell you." And listen to this, "For you are greatly loved. You are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision." God loved Daniel, the praying leader. A godly leader prays. A godly leader takes everything to God in prayer. When we pray, God answers. When we pray, God gives power and strength. God loves a leader that prays. Maybe we panic or run away in difficult situations. Maybe there's a problem or a conflict or just a very difficult matter where you need much wisdom. Daniel prayed. He prayed in these situations. Many times we forget. That's the last thing we do. We do everything and go to every book and every guy we know, and then after everything failed, we pray. No, Daniel first prayed. And it was part of his DNA. He was characterized by prayer. You pray in these situations. James said in James 1 verse 5, "But if anyone of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." It will. It's the truth. Paul wrote in Philippians 4 verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." The question is, where do you go when in trouble? How much time do we spend in prayer? And maybe there are no solution or wisdom or success because of our own lack of prayer. Fathers, mothers, deacons, elders, businessmen, managers, politicians. If you want to be a successful godly leader, you need to take every matter to the Lord. If you want to impact the lives of your children or your family or this church, your colleagues, your fellow citizens, you need to pray. That's the first thing we need to do. If you want doors to open, God's favor and breakthroughs, you should pray. A godly leader prays. Godly leaders are characterized as praying leaders. A second characteristic of a godly leader is this: a godly leader studies the Bible. Let's go to Daniel 9 verse 2. "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet," you see, it's not just any book, it's the Bible, it's the word of the Lord to Jeremiah. And Daniel studied this book. He said, "I perceived in the books the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Now this truth of God's word caused Daniel to plead for mercy." In verse 3, when Daniel prayed, look at verse 3. "Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." What he read in the book of Jeremiah caused Daniel to fall on his knees and pray for mercy. It is because Daniel studied the scriptures that he knew God. It is because Daniel studied the scriptures that he prayed. It is because Daniel studied the scriptures he had wisdom. Because Daniel studied the scriptures, he made the right choices. Daniel knew the truth that we find in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. And I'm sure you all know 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, because every Christian should know 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That is why we read the Bible. That is why we want to learn about more about the Bible and who God is. A man of God, a godly leader, can be equipped for every good work through his knowledge of the Bible. Young man, if you know your Bible, you would run away when a friend is trying to entice you to do some sin. Because in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, we read, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." Christian, if you know the Bible, you would turn away when someone gossips about another person. For the Bible teaches in Proverbs 17, verse 9, "He who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends." And there are many more guidelines for us in the Bible. And if we know it, we will use it in our daily lives. Children, if you know the Bible, you will obey your parents. Because Ephesians 6 verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Punt. There's nothing else. It says, it is right. Children, obey your parents. This is it. So, let us go back to Daniel and learn from him how his knowledge of the word influenced his prayers. Because it is interlinked. It is not one or the other. They work together. The better you know God, the better you pray. The better you know what to pray. Look at Daniel 10 verse 12. Where the angel said to Daniel, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words." Daniel was a man who set his heart to understand the word and the plans of God, and he prayed accordingly. And then he received from God mind-boggling prophecies that describe the whole world's future. I mean, Daniel received prophecies about, we can say, the history of the future. The whole world's future was revealed to Daniel, and we can read it in the book of Daniel in a few chapters. Amazing. And when you know the Bible and you pray accordingly, God hears our prayers and answers because it is within his will. Godly leaders study their Bibles. Godly leaders know their Bibles. So my friend, do you study your Bible? Do you know that the Bible has answers for every question or struggle you might find yourself in? If you know your Bible, it will help you to make the right choices. And if you make that choices, you will be like the man of Psalm 1. Let us just go to Psalm 1 for a moment. Let us read Psalm 1. What is a man like? A man who knows the Word of God. Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." And listen to this. "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Wonderful. Amen. Godly leaders know their Bibles, and it will help you to make the right choices. A third characteristic of a godly leader is this. A godly leader fearlessly acts. It's not just about prayer. It's not just about knowing the Bible. It is about acting. A godly leader fearlessly acts. Daniel's godly leadership caused him to act swiftly and fearlessly. Because he prayed, God empowered him to act, and because he knew the scriptures, he acted in obedience to God. That's how it works. Let us take a look at three ways Daniel fearlessly acted. First, Daniel fearlessly acted in making godly choices. Let's look at Daniel 1 verse 8. Daniel 1 verse 8. But Daniel made up his mind, some translations says resolved. He made a godly choice and stuck to it. He made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Verse 9. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. Note that Daniel sought permission. He didn't throw the wine in the nearest pot plant or heed his choice not to defile himself. He respectfully sought permission. He acted openly and fearlessly with respect in his choice to follow God rather than man. Also look at Daniel 2 verse 16. So Daniel went in. He acted. He went in and requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Again, Daniel went in and he made his request. He acted. He didn't sit at home and wait for a miracle. He asked a reasonable question. King, would you give me some time? please don't kill me now. Just give me a little bit of more time because I think my God has the answer. Must have been scary to ask that question of the king. But godly leadership affected Daniel's choices. Godly leadership will affect the choices we make. Brothers and sisters, this is serious. If you are a godly leader, and I'm not only speaking about politicians and great men, if you are a father, a mother, a manager, an elder, what does God expect of you as a godly leader? Well, he expects of you to make the right choices. Fathers, mothers, you lead your families. If you neglect the choice to discipline your children when they are still young, because the Bible says so, it will come back and bite you. It seems so much easier to just say, ach, kom nou pity, for a million times. Or, please, pity, stop now. Please, pity. But the godly choice here expects of me, pity, you sinned by your disobedience. I'm going to give you three of the best, and this will cause you to cry. But you will reap the benefits of your godly choice. Amen. You will reap the benefits because it's a godly choice. Secondly, Daniel fearlessly acted in speaking God's truths. Imagine giving the following advice to President Ramaphosa or to Mr. Malema, or what about Mr. Putin from Russia? Daniel 4 verse 27. Listen to this. Daniel standing before Nebuchadnezzar. Therefore, O king, may my advice be pleasing to you. Break away now from your sins by doing righteousness, and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, in case there may be a prolonging of your prosperity. This is a situation where any normal person would tremble and fear, but Daniel spoke fearlessly and truthfully. Men, man up. Speak up. Daniel spoke fearlessly and truthfully. He was a great leader because he fearlessly acted in speaking God's truths. We need to proclaim the gospel. We call ourselves Christians. We need to proclaim the gospel fearlessly to our bosses, our parents, our children, to the rich, to the poor. They must hear the truth. And the truth is not only a God loves you all message. No, people must realize they are sinners. If no one knows they are sinners before a holy God and that God will punish them, why would they need a savior? J.C. Ryle said this, and I quote, "Never does a person see any beauty in Christ as savior until they discover they are a lost and ruined sinner." Unquote. So Daniel fearlessly acted in speaking godly truths. We should fearlessly act, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good message, the good news that Jesus came to save sinners. Amen. Then thirdly, Daniel fearlessly acted through his, guess what, through his actions. Daniel didn't only make godly choices in his mind and spoke the right words to his audiences, he also acted swiftly and fearlessly. He walked his talk. Just think about Daniel, what Daniel did when he knew he might be lion food. When the king made a declaration that no one could worship any god but the king, what did Daniel do? Look at Daniel 6 verse 10. Daniel 6 verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Again, Daniel chose to obey God rather than man, knowing that he can lose his life here. He chose to keep kneeling and keep on praying three times a day. His actions confirms his character. And then in verse 16, Daniel 6:16, then the king gave orders and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Your God, whom you constantly serve." I mean, the king knew that Daniel constantly served his God, will himself deliver you. It was a testimony. He didn't do it secretly. What I admire about Daniel here is that he didn't secretly run away and hid himself. He prayed openly and then was thrown into the lion's den. Daniel didn't know what the outcome would be. Think about the night before that. He didn't know. He just knew, I'm lion food tomorrow. He didn't know the outcome, but he fearlessly continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing. His choices and his words were acted out to such a point that he was willing to die in a lion's den. Now the question is, do your words and your choices reach your hands and feet? You see, the word Christian means follower of Jesus Christ. 70% of South Africans say they are Christians. In other words, they say they are followers of Jesus Christ. Now, if this was true, South Africa would have been a different country. I think about 60% of those are lying. There are many Christians today who sit in churches on Sundays, but the rest of the week, they are cheating their husbands and their wives. They are drunkards. They abuse their families. They bribe officials to get business contracts. They are secretly watching pornography. On a Sunday, they sit in church and they look like an angel. Hallelujah, amen, praise the Heere. But on a Saturday evening, I don't want to even say what they are perhaps doing. And if this is perhaps you, brother or sister, repent, confess your sins, and come to Jesus, for by His grace, He forgives sinners. Come to Jesus. You need to repent. Daniel is a great example of great leadership. But you know what? Daniel was still a sinner. There's one that is even greater than Daniel, and that is the Lord Himself. God, our Creator, is the greatest leader of all. Amen. Jesus, our Savior, is the only perfect example of servant leadership you will ever see. Amen. I mean, Jesus prayed constantly to His Father. Jesus constantly used scriptures in His ministry. Jesus acted in obedience to the point of death on the cross to show His love for sinners. And that is for you and for me. Because we were sinners. We are still sinners. But it's only through Jesus that we stand righteous before a holy God. A godly leader prays, a godly leader studies the Bible, and a godly leader acts fearlessly. And you can also use this as guidance when matters of or problems are greater than you can handle. First, pray about it. That's not the last option. Pray about it. I always encourage my sons and my daughters, and we have 8 of them. Matthew 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God. That's where you go first, before anything else. When you want to know what your career or what you want to study, seek first the kingdom of God. When you want to marry a wife, seek first the kingdom of God. When you want to do anything, seek first the kingdom of God. Pray. Secondly, read God's word about the matter. Maybe there's answers in the Word, and I can guarantee you there's answers for every matter in the Word of God, because God has given us His wisdom for a reason, so that we may be equipped. And then lastly, then act. We must do something about it. Do make your decision and act accordingly. I am the manager of a community trust. That's what I do for a living. I've been doing community development for 29 years now, and I work in different communities doing community development. Now, the past 2 weeks were very difficult because we had to deal with community unrest in Cookhouse. And sometimes these situations are volatile, and it's tough when you do negotiations and you try and speak to people who are violent, and there's conflict, and the situation is just, it's scary. Now, I cannot say that I handle it like as well as Daniel, because sometimes I fear for my life, and it feels like I want to run away and hide. But one thing I know is this. This situation in South Africa is a spiritual matter. It needs prayer. And this situation needs the church. And if we are the church, and if we say we follow Jesus Christ, I believe the church should be leaders in this matter. And how should the church lead? Well, start by praying. Please pray for our country. Please pray for our communities. Please pray for your neighbor, because those communities are our neighbors. And I'm not speaking about the poor community only. Our rich community need more prayer. I call up the church to pray for the people of Cookhouse. And in this week, I called up we mobilized the church to pray for that, and our prayers were answered, because here I am today. I'm here, and the situation calmed down. Our biggest problem is not poverty or socioeconomic issues or unemployment. Our biggest problem is a spiritual problem. South Africans desperately need a savior, because there's blood flowing, there's fraud, men are cheating their wives, and we can go on and on. But South Africans desperately need a savior. And what are we doing about it? The church needs to show some leadership in South Africa. Redeemer Fellowship, Jeffreys Bay Bible Church need to show leadership where we are. And we start by praying together. Why are there so few people when you call them for prayer in a prayer meeting or in prayer meetings? I want to call up the church to pray for our townships. I want to call up the church to send laborers to that harvest to preach the gospel. And I want to call up the church to do something about the desperate poverty of our people. I wonder sometimes if the church global doesn't miss the point. We don't pray. We don't study and proclaim the word. We don't act. We don't preach the gospel. We just like to sit and listen to the word and get rich and fat with the word of God. But what are we doing with it? And that is what I call the church to do. Just, church, do your job, what we were called to do. Now, maybe none of this morning matter to you. You don't care about prayer, you don't care about the Bible or about obedience to Christ. My friend, then you need to be born again. Maybe there are people here today who pray and who read their Bibles and even act fearlessly, doing a lot of good deeds. But all of this won't matter if you are not born again. You see, Paul fearlessly persecuted Christians, and he thought he knew the Scriptures. And he prayed until he met the greatest leader of all times, Jesus Christ. And he bowed his knee, and Jesus saved him. We see we are all sinners and lost through our connection with Adam and Eve and sin. Man was separated from God when he sinned. Therefore, we need to be born again, and the only one who can do that is Jesus Christ through His Spirit. Jesus, the Son of God, laid down His life as a once and for all sacrifice, and He was punished for our sins. And that is why we sing, that is why we pray, because we are thankful, because we are new creations in Christ. Amen? So, my message to you today is repent and be saved. Bring your sins to the cross where Jesus died for you, where the nails was pierced through His arms for you, because God loved you so much. And then become a man of God, growing into a beautiful, godly leader like Daniel, characterized by prayer, by knowledge of the Bible, and obedience, by showing it in our actions. Amen. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You that You are faithful, that You are always there, that You are in control of every situation. Thank You, Lord, that You loved us so much that You died for our sins, and that we can stand here this morning and have fellowship with one another because we are Your children. We are sheep of Your pasture, not because of anything we did, because we cannot work ourselves into heaven, but because You did everything, Lord. You are the only God who died for Your followers, and we praise You for that. We praise You that You brought Your life as a sacrifice for sinners. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know You, or maybe there's some stirring in their heart, Lord, I pray that You will save them, because only You can save. I pray that You will work in their hearts through Your Holy Spirit. I pray that You will send people to preach the gospel to them over and over, that the hammer of Your word will keep on knocking until their ears open and their hearts open to Your great love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.